Well, we could do what's written, like I said. Yeah, it's all right.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, your words are sometimes not easy for us to hear. And yet there is also great hope and great good news in your call to discipleship. So as I preach and as we reflect and meditate, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and that you would draw our hearts towards following you. In your name I pray. Amen. Today's sermon is going to be called The Jesus Transfer, and it models off a TV show that I'll talk about in a minute. But The Jesus Transfer goes like this. Give up what you cannot keep in order to gain what you cannot lose. And I think that that is really the essence of the gospel reading that I just read from Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 to 42, where Jesus gives some very hard to hear words to his disciples and to us as his followers. But there's also something in the exchange, something marvelous and magnificent that can't be described. You might have guessed, I think Kathy probably did, there is or was, I haven't actually seen it for a while, is it still on? There's a show called The Gruen Transfer or Gruen Planet. Kathy, still on ABC?
Sure.
And what did they do in that show, basically?
Oh, they would look at examples of advertising and debate whether they were good or whether they actually succeeded in selling the product to the people.
Excellent. So the Gruen Transfer was about advertising. They'd have some ads. They'd kind of dissect them with a panel of experts and say, did this hit the mark? Does this make you want to go out and buy the product? One of my favourite parts of that show was a part called The Pitch. And in The Pitch, Kathy, you had to?
You had to try and sell the unsellable proposition.
So yes.
Two ad agencies would be given a job of selling, moving to New Zealand or, I can't think of another example.
A toad as a pet.
So the idea of The Pitch was exactly what Kathy said. Two ad agencies had to try and sell the unsellable product. And a couple of my favourites, one was make celibacy sexy. So the ad agencies had to try and create a pitch that would make celibacy and abstinence sexy. We won't go into that one. And the other one was invade New Zealand. Why Australia should invade New Zealand. And I've actually got the clip from Invade New Zealand. You don't need to, there's not much sound on it. It's basically just the visuals. So enjoy. This riffs off the 100% New Zealand ad campaign that New Zealand Tourism did a few years ago. And hopefully it works. 100% pure New Zealand. 100% pure natural resources. 100% pure energy supplies. 0% Air Force. 0% Navy. 0% infantry. 100% there for the taking. Too easy. 100% ours. invadenewzealand.com.au. Now, in no way am I endorsing that we should actually invade New Zealand, but you get an idea of what the Gruen Transfer is kind of on about there, to sell the unsellable. Well, you know what? If I was a marketer, I would say that what Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 is pretty much unsellable. Let's have a little bit of a closer look at that. The call to discipleship in Matthew's gospel. I read it just before. To me, this is a really hard sell. Jesus says, if you don't love me more than your family members, you're not worthy to follow me. If you don't give up all you have, you're not worthy to follow me. If you don't take up your cross, you're not worthy to follow me. And in first century Judea, people knew exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is asking for 100% commitment. People who lived in Jerusalem would have seen crucifixions on a regular basis. They knew that when Jesus said, take up your cross, he was, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German martyr in the Second World War, said, when Jesus calls someone, he bids them to come and die. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm looking at that and going, well, isn't there an easier way? Can't we do it some other way, Jesus? Surely it can't be like that. Stephen, this is a pretty hard sell, don't you reckon? If you were in marketing at the time with Jesus, would you have perhaps, from a marketing point of view, purely marketing point of view, suggested to him, Jesus, maybe we can, dial down the commitment a little bit, you know? Maybe we can let people try before you buy, you know, have 1,000 days interest-free before they have to kind of commit. Give them a soft sell, you know? Give them a proposition where everything's going to be good if they follow you. Would that be kind of...
Or at least make the entry point.
Okay, let's build up to this slowly. Let's not go all that way. Don't mention death. No, why would we do that? Isn't there an easier way? And yet, throughout history, thousands of people followed the man who went to the cross. And they did it in Jerusalem very soon after he was killed. And millions of people have followed Jesus down through the years and down through the centuries and the millennia. Why? What is going on here? There's thousands of examples that I could give of where Christians literally know the truth of what Jesus says when he says, people will hate you and they will seek to kill you because you're my follower. Some of these most recent examples happened in Egypt. Now, I'm not sure if you have heard very much about this. We see a lot more in the news about some of the other kind of terror attacks in Western countries. But in Egypt recently, Coptic Christians have been targeted by extremist Muslim groups, and many of them have been killed. Their churches have been bombed, and in particular, the one down the bottom in Minya, there were 28 people killed. Now, this was reported on the news, but what wasn't reported was that the terrorists stopped the bus that was traveling to a monastery with Christians aboard, and they went onto the bus and they asked people, are you a Muslim? No, I'm a Christian. Are you willing to renounce Jesus and become a Muslim? No, I am loyal to Jesus. And then one by one, they took them off the bus and shot them, killed them, because they wouldn't renounce Jesus. So these Coptic Christians know very well that the call of Jesus can be a call to die. Why? Why would anyone, when Jesus mentions death, when he says, this is going to be really hard, it's no bed of roses, I'm not guaranteeing you a good life, I'm actually guaranteeing you suffering, why would anyone choose to follow Jesus? It's because these Christians, and many like them around the world, and I hope us as well, understand the depth of the Jesus transfer, not the Gruen transfer, the Jesus transfer. And the Jesus transfer is, like as said at the beginning of the sermon, give up what you cannot keep in order to gain what you cannot lose. What is it that you cannot keep? It's your life, your selfish, fearful, approval-seeking, destructive, dying life. Every single one of us has exactly one life. And every single one of us, that life is something that we cannot keep for ourselves. We're all going to hit death at some point, unless Jesus comes back first. But all of these things, Jesus says, have to be given up. This is the thing which Jesus calls us to give up, something that we cannot keep anyway, which doesn't really belong to us, which is coming to an end. And Jesus calls us to give up our selfish, fearful, approval-seeking, destructive, dying life in order to receive what we can't lose, that is, the life of Jesus himself. So the Jesus exchange is that Jesus swaps his life for yours. He says, I'll take your old, destructive, selfish, dying life, and I'll give you my new, resurrected, restoring, forever life. Life as children of God. Life where we can call God Father, and where we know that others who believe in Christ are our brothers and sisters. And a life without fear. I don't know what it's like to live without fear. I am afraid of what people think of me, most of all. Now, I know that's a soft kind of first world problem, and it doesn't at all compare to what the Egyptian Coptic Christians went through, but somehow that's what I fear the most. I'm afraid of what people might think of me. I'm afraid people might not like me, or that they might not think that I'm a nice guy. And yet, those Christians who are persecuted around the world, they're not afraid. They know that they don't have anything to fear ultimately, because Jesus has promised them, if you lose your life for me, you'll actually find it. So here's a pastor's confession. You probably don't get to hear this very often, so enjoy it. Sometimes it still seems to me that discipleship is a hard sell. It's still hard to say this to people, to hear these words for myself. Sometimes I feel like following Jesus feels like a chore, something that I have to do. What's going on there? Maybe for all of us, maybe sometimes we hear more law than gospel. We hear more of what Jesus commands us than what he promises us. Or maybe vocation is difficult. Maybe God has placed you into a work situation where it's just insanely difficult. And you're going, what is the point? I'm not making any progress. Why am I doing this? Maybe parenting is difficult. And God's call to you to be a parent is not at all an easy one. And that's somewhere where you experience the cross of Jesus. When you see your children doing things that you don't want, when you respond in ways that you wish you didn't. Following Jesus sometimes seems hard. So what's going on here? You've probably all heard of the monkey trap, right? It's a very old story that a lot of preachers often use. And it goes like this: how do you catch a monkey? Well, in parts of Africa, I have tried to track down this story. I believe it has some veracity to it. I'm not sure it's as true as people say it is. But basically, if you want to catch a monkey, what you do is you get a jar. And you put the jar somewhere fixed where it can't be moved. And then inside the jar, you put something that monkeys like to eat. And the monkeys come along and they see the food and they reach in and they grab the food and they cannot get their hand out of the jar. And here's the thing, the monkeys will not let go of the food. And so they stay there for hours and hours with their hand trapped in the jar until the hunter comes back. And then the hunter has caught them because they wouldn't let go of what they could not keep anyway. In this jar, I'm gonna have to swap hands here. I have something. Ryan, what is this thing?
A coin.
What is it?
A coin.
Yeah, what kind?
50 cent coin.
50 cent coin. Here I also have a nice crisp $50 note. I remember one time when my daughter Bethany was quite young and my dad gave her a shiny new 50 cent piece. Awesome! She was very happy with her money. She wanted that 50 cent piece. And so then her grandpa did this. Bethany, I'll give you this $50 note if you give me your 50 cent piece. And Bethany wouldn't, because the coin was shiny and she didn't quite understand the value of money yet. So what's happening when following Jesus seems like a chore is that I'm actually in the monkey trap. This is my old approval-seeking, fearful, dying life. But sometimes it seems like all I've got. And so I hang on to it really tightly. But Jesus actually has so much more for me and for you than that. Not just 100 times as much, but infinitely better life. A life that I can't lose. A life that goes beyond death. A life with God forever. Need more hands. When I cling to this life, I'm forgetting the Jesus exchange. I'm forgetting the good things that Jesus wants to give me. I'm missing the glory and the good news and the value of the life of Jesus that he wants to give me for my old selfish, fearful, dying life. What is the glory of the good news in the Jesus exchange? Well, I'm actually going to have to take my hand out of a jar. I was hoping I could do this all with my hand in the jar, but imagine that my hand is still in the jar, okay? Let's have a look. The good news is that we are called to become like Jesus. Jesus says, students are not greater than their teacher and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher and slaves are to be like their master. Jesus wants to make us like him. He wants to give us his life, that life that gave life and joy and so much more to so many people. It's a life without fear. Jesus says in verse 26 of chapter 10, but don't be afraid of those who threaten you. He says in verse 28, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. How awesome it would be to live without fear. It's the acknowledgement and approval of God. Jesus says in verse 32, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Can you imagine that? Before the Father, before the creator of the whole universe, Jesus says, I will call you out and say, you were my follower. You acknowledged me on earth. It wasn't always easy, but you did it. Father, I honor this person. Father, I honor Deb. I honor Marcy. I honor Pastor James because they acknowledged me here on earth. And the Father approves of you. He likes you. He loves you. He loves the good things that you do and that you've been created for. This Jesus exchange is to be intimately known and loved by God. Jesus says, verse 31, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. The very smallest detail of your life, Jesus knows intimately and loves you, and the Father holds you in his delight. That's the Jesus exchange. So, back again. Too many. I need more hands. I need three hands to do this sermon. Well, what about you? Is the Jesus transfer still a pretty hard sell in your life when you hear Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me? That you need to put him above everything else? Is there still something that's kind of a barrier there? And so the question that I'm asking you and that I think the Holy Spirit is asking each of us is, what are you clinging to? What are the good things or the slightly good things or the maybe not even so good things that keep you from being able to open your hand and receive the glorious things that Jesus wants to give you in exchange for your old life? What good news do you find it hard to believe? Do you find it hard to believe that God actually likes you? That Jesus will acknowledge you? That maybe that secret sin could be forgiven? Or that you can live a life without fear? And so right here in the middle of the sermon, which is a very unusual place for it, we're actually going to spend some time in confession. And it's not to anyone else. This is between you and God. Mel, could you come up here and help me, please? Because I can't hold anything. There's some pens and paper in there. We're going to spend just a few minutes writing a written confession now to God. This is our confession part of the service. We will have an absolution. But I invite you to think about questions like this. No one is going to look at this, by the way. The papers will be collected, but they will be destroyed. What am I clinging to? Is it approval of others? Fear of people? Need to be in control? Or some comfortable sin, perhaps? It might be anything. You know what it is. The Holy Spirit knows what it is. No one else needs to know. So I invite you to spend a few minutes just writing your confession on this piece of paper. And then we're going to let go of those things. Or actually, when you're ready, please bring it up to the altar, scrunch it up, and put it in the jar which holds the old life. And then we will pray a prayer of confession and receive God's forgiveness. We're going to pray the prayer of confession together. That's up on the screen. Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I am clinging to these things in my life. In Jesus' name and by his strength, I lay them down. I place them in your hands. Please forgive me through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with the joy of Jesus' exchange, his resurrected, restoring life in place of my selfish, dying life. I receive the life, boldness, and approval of Jesus with thanks. The call of Jesus comes to us not only from the dying Jesus, but the one who has been resurrected. The crucified one is the risen one. And Jesus is the one who did not refuse to carry his cross for you. Jesus is the one who left behind his Father so that you could be restored to his Father. Jesus is the one who was insulted for you so that you could receive his glory. And Jesus is the one who didn't cling to his life in order that you might have new life. And he is the one who calls us to follow and makes us worthy. And it's in Jesus' name that I announce to you the good news that your sins are forgiven, that your old life is done away with, that Jesus has given you his new life in exchange for your old life. You are a forgiven child of God, deeply loved by our Father. The New Zealand ad, the real one, the tourism one, says 100% New Zealand. Well, I believe with all my heart that the Jesus exchange is 100% worth it. I want you to join me briefly in a vision of life that is shaped by Jesus in community. Imagine what is already true, where Jesus says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. And he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What does a Jesus-shaped life look like? First of all, no matter what happens, God holds us. Take any trouble or stress that you can imagine and extend it out to its ultimate extent, and there you'll find God waiting for you in the person of Jesus. God is there. What's the worst that can happen? Well, for the Coptic Christians, it was they could kill me. And what then? And then I'll enter into life with God forever. We walk with the risen Jesus. He's the one who's got scars in his hands. And you know what those scars say? The scars say, you will suffer as you follow me, but there is nothing that you go through that I haven't already been through. There's nothing that you go through that I have not conquered. There's nothing that you go through that I am not there in it with you. And it's not a bed of roses, but it's a life worth living. So no matter what, God holds us. We are always his. Secondly, every act of kindness matters. Jesus says that if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the people who's his followers, that you will surely not lose your reward. Every single small act of love and kindness that we do in the name of Jesus, because we belong to him, is stored up and has eternal value. You are going to get to heaven and the presence of God, and you are going to realize that God has done so much through you, so much good stuff. and it all matters. And that's a great vision for our community as well. Thirdly, you have the approval of God. Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before people, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And Jesus will put his arm around you and say, Father, this is my daughter. This is my son. I love them so much. I love them so much. And I'm so proud that they're here and that they are your child. And you have been promised life to the full, a life without fear, a purpose and a worth that nothing can take away. Hope that goes beyond the power of death and destruction in this world. Well, that's the Jesus transfer. It's about giving up what you can't keep in order to gain what you cannot lose, the life of Christ. And yes, there are hard things in the life of discipleship, and Jesus didn't promise us a bed of roses, but he did promise that he would be there with us every single step of the way, and that he would usher us in honour into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.